milk cart.
For January 5 in Louisiana, the $100,000 by the light stakes was won by dancing in the circle a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Divine Park. She was bred in Kentucky by James Berry and trained by Larry Jones. She won the by the light by 9 widening lengths, missing the 7-furlong track record by less than a second. Win of a maiden special in her debut, dancing in the circle in her second start, was beaten just a quarter of a length in the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie. Divine Park's also the sire of Blonde Fog, winner of her first start by 12 and a half lengths at Santa Anita, and second in the Grade 1 $500,000 Hollywood Starlet, and her second start of Come On Baby Light My Fire, filly that's placed in 2 stakes in Canada. Of Divine Ambition, winner of News, only start of a maiden special by 8 lengths at Turfway, and he goes again, I believe, today. And from 20 first crop starters, 15 to win a place. In 2012, Sales Yearlings by Divine Park sold for an average of nearly 10 times the stud fee of $10,000, doing a full stint of nurses. And keep in mind that Divine Park has a stamina pedigree. He's the son of Grade 1 winner Chester House, a half-brother to top sire Empire Maker. Chester House sired three crops before his untimely death. And from those three crops have come 29 stakes winners, 9 graded stakes winners, 2 Grade 1, including Divine Park, winner of the Grade 1 Metropolitan. Divine Park stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton, she owns Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, as about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and as usual, Saturday mornings, we're right here at the Thoroughbred Center on the Paris Pike in the Clocker Stand, and kind of a sloppy track this morning with all this rain we're having. I guess we're going to get some more tonight, so doesn't bode too well for the track tomorrow, as far as that goes, but we had a few workers this morning, nothing special. Had 2 winners last night at Turfway, Bobby Sturgeon, one with Cali Style, and Brian Michael won with Any Given Chance. Not many opportunities to run. They've just run, let's see, 3 days. Saturday, Sunday, and then last night. So we've just had 3 days of racing since last week's show. But we've had 4 winners. Well, that's not too bad, besides Bobby Sturgeon and Brian Michael. Paul Garcia won a race, and Thomas Short won with the White Rabbit. I wonder if he runs like a rabbit. I haven't seen him. Anyway, he won, so he must do it. And let's see, what we're going to do today, John Gasper is going to come in. John's a friend of mine, known him for a number of years now, a very well-rounded horseman, and he's opening his own bloodstock agency, incidentally, and he's done about everything as anybody can do in the horse business, from being a jock agent. I think he's a recovering jock agent, and to running horse farms, now he's going to have his own agency. Of course, he just left Vinery. So John's going to stop by. He's always fun to talk to. Dr. Doug Byers is here, and I'm going to talk to Doug in just a second. Michael Blowen, I assume. You always have to assume when you talk about Michael, and I guess he's on his way. You never know. Steve Moody is going to give us the winner of the Panzeretta Stakes that run down at the fairgrounds today. Of course, Panzeretta's buried in the center field of the fairgrounds. Is he here already, Doug?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness, here I was making disparaging remarks about him. Fun to do it, though. Panzeretta's buried. You know, she was a renowned runner. She ran over 100 starts and won so many races, that 50-some-odd races. I forget what it was anyway, and she's buried right there in the center field, broke down at the fairgrounds. And we're still looking at three-year-olds in 1957. If we've got time, we'll look at Round Table. We might look at Venomous, a daughter of Mel Hash. Mel Hash, a daughter of Hash, who was a son of Questionnaire. And let's see, we've got Joe Palmer. And see if I have some time to read something from Joe. And, of course, Jackie's announcements. And right now, Dr. Byers on his way to his daughter's birthday party in Louisville. And, you want to get out of here, so I'm going to put you on right now. All You're right. on the spot right now.
Good. Fire away.
Fire away.
Fire away. Michael?
Yep. Michael,
just all right.
I hope you can get a word in edge.
Oh, that's it. He's now, done now. He's
I might as well. We're out through. I just said it's been lovely.
See ya, huh?
Yeah.
Here, read the damn racing form. Did you buy a racing form?
Yeah, but if I knew you were going to give me yours,
I wasn't going to give it to you.
Okay, well, good then. I'm glad I bought one.
For a change. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, I thought I'd just kind of touch on a couple of things, very superficial. One, I think, is timely, is flu, the influenza deal.
Timely and people going around, too.
Well, what I kind of wanted to highlight that in 1918, there was a strain of flu virus. I believe it came out of the Midwest, and it's called the Great Influenza.
Mm-hmm.
And that kills 1 million people in a year.
I've read about it.
Yeah.
Believe me or not, that's a little ahead of me, Tim.
Well,
not much.
Well, that's true, not much.
So that particular one, and it was during World War One,
mm-hmm.
that it went through all the troops and everything else, and all the most healthy individuals were the ones that died.
It was
just the opposite of what we're looking at here right now. And what would happen is that virus would infect people's bodies and cause kind of an autoimmune reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those troops were dead in 24 hours. And they had 1 million casualties.
My father was in the service at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was in France.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it spread from the United States throughout the world.
Yeah.
And so it was over in about a year.
Lasted that long?
Lasted that long.
Because nobody had flu shots at that time.
Nothing. But, you know, and they knew what it was, but it just one of the things. So I think the thing that's out there, you say, well, we've got this flu, and anyway, we're taking it pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if that virus altered to where it became autoimmune, like in 1918. So you'd say the hazard or the risk is always there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to the CDC in Atlanta probably 30 years ago, 35 years ago, had a tour. And of course that's was six floors underground.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go to the top two stores, and all the other floors, and like if you got down to the Ebola virus, be the worst of all, and it was like four flights down to the bottom, and so it can contagious tells you the. The things that are out there that require mm-hmm. constant surveillance.
Yeah.
And so they had, and I'll never forget, you had first two flights were armed rifles.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they just... So it's a big deal. And all of the
if you didn't mind yourself, you know, they'll shoot you.
Yeah.
What? Got to go one way or the other. Go
ahead. Well, anyway.
Trying to steal some of those germs.
Yeah, right.
It's interesting, and they get contained constantly contain those viruses. So, you know, on a similar note, I looked up a paper, you know, do we have something in horses like the flu? Well, the horses get flu.
Yeah.
No question about that. But there's one called glanders, farcy, and it was a skin disease back in about 1918. Killed millions and millions of horses.
Is that right? From skin disease?
Yeah, and gets into their lungs. But people can get it.
From animals?
From animals. And so it was... kind of an actinobacillus, and it burned itself out, no vaccine, but it burned itself out, and they contained that one for years. But they had, so they would get skin disease and lung disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so the horses can be, exposed just like having the flu deal. So you never know. That's just the point I was going to make. Mm-hmm. Then I was going to pick on Michael, and got into a discussion the other day about floating their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called Michael, and he was concerned
He wasn't going to ask me for any advice on how to do it. Let's start there.
Yeah, he's too smart for that.
Well, the dental care is pretty routine, but I think we're recognizing that we overdo it. And so if you said, well, you need to float, I don't know where the float comes from.
I was going to ask you that.
I don't know where.
That's what they call a tube.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe it just floats like a featherly thing. But anyway,
it sounds better than grind.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those teeth get dressed, mm-hmm, or floated. And horses have kind of an interesting mouth. They're different than cows. Cows don't have an upper arcade of teeth. But the horses do. In the back of the mouth, their teeth are like a shelf. So the outside of the jaw has a shelf so that the teeth kind of overlay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then so you can, if you know how to just put your hand in their mouth, you can feel the teeth. And then the younger they are, the more problems they have until a few years of age. And then as they get older and mid-age, you don't need to fool with their teeth. They're, you know, easily addressed unless you know that they're got breath that smells and things that they've got a problem. Otherwise, they just eat away. So
yeah.
I've got mares that have I don't do them routine enough. Mm-hmm. But you know, you got them, and then you got. In the youngsters, you have caps or middle age too.
Yeah,
Where they
grow wolf teeth
crowns. Yeah,
got to come out.
Yeah, and the wolf teeth. You pluck them out. Just don't want to break them off because they'll give them some. Then they have all of those teeth are in the back, and like I say, it's easy to examine them. But you just got to know what you're doing.
He's looking at me now.
But
for our TV audience,
their front part of their mouth has the incisors, different feet, and then they've got the interdental space, mm-hmm, where there's no teeth. between the front incisors and the back molars. Now, there is males have a canine tooth, mm-hmm. and the females don't. So they just have that sitting there. And you leave those alone. They don't need anything. They're fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, the less maintenance that you do with them, the better off they are.
Okay.
And that's
well, that's good to know.
It is good to know.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it
at that. It's cheaper, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't need these darn expensive...
As long as they can chew carrots.
Don't need these expensive veterinarians.
Well, the other thing that's happening is that we've got better... diet.
Yeah.
So they're more easily maintained.
Okay.
Okay.
Doc.
Well, what's the rest of your day look like? You're going to Louisville? What's
going
on?
Louisville and, you know.
You tell Angela to drive carefully.
Yeah, he wouldn't drive over here with me today.
I don't blame him.
I rode in his car. I'm not riding back in his car.
Okay. Doc, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
See you, Doc. I'll see you.
All right. We'll see you next week. Well, Eddington was the sire of 8 stakes horses last year, 5 stakes winners, 3 of them graded stakes winners. Secret Circle won the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn, the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes also at Oaklawn. Ran second in the Grade 1 $1 million Arkansas Derby and the Grade 2 Sham Stakes at Santa Anita. That boosted his earnings to over $1 million. Brushed by a Star won the Grade 2 Molly Pitcher at Monmouth Park, the Grade 2 Shaluki Stakes at Churchill Downs, and the $100,000 Iowa Distaff. Placed in 2 more stakes, including the Grade 2 Fall City Handicap at Churchill. And the 2-year-old filly Gold Edge won 3 of her 4 starts, including the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie and the Lisa M Stakes, both those, of course, at Arlington Park. Eddington is a Grade 1 stakes winner. He's placed in classics. He's by unbridled. He earned over $1,216,000 in his stands, $5,000 to win a full stands of nurses at Cleveland Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. Bernie's number over there is an 859 number, 233-4252, and see the website at ClebornFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All right, breeders, pay close attention to this. If you hold an existing live foal contract today to any of these stallions, and I'm going to list them in a second, you'll automatically be entered into a draw for an additional free season to that stallion. Or if you sign a live foal contract by noon, February 8th, you will also be eligible for a free season drawing. The stallions involved are Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, Colonel John, Drosselmeyer, Gemologist, Pioneer of the Nile, Sydney's Candy, Spring at Last, Super Saver, and U.S. Ranger. Call Windstar Farm, talk to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. The number at Windstar is 859-873-1717. Once again, if you hold an existing live foal contract or if you sign a live foal contract by noon February the 8th, you will be eligible to participate in a free season drawing to that particular stallion. Now, that's a heck of a deal. So call Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, 873-1717. And for more information about the Windstar Stallions, check the website at windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says
a foe. All right, I've got Michael Blowen with me, and Doc's on his way to Louisville.
Yeah, good. Doc's doing great. He's starting to get a little persnickety again, so that's always a good sign on the road to recovery.
Yeah, well, that's great. Good to have him back.
Yeah, he's fabulous. I see you got your Airdrie stud hat on. I was over talking to Brereton Jones the other day. We had a wonderful chat about the old Airdrie horses that we have at the farm. And Barry's been very generous. And, you know, we should congratulate all the Eclipse Award winners from, or all the Eclipse Award nominees from around
here. He's one of them.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he does it with stallions that are affordable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you think about it, you know, it's amazing.
He's the last several years, you know, he says it's that that great land he's got across the road over there, his magic field, he calls it.
He may be right.
He might be right.
Yeah, Woodburn, you know, it's in the same, he's right there at the center of where it all started. So, you know, that started there for some reason. It's
exactly.
Fountain of Youth or something. But you know, when you think about it, not only has he been a great breeder, he's also races his horses.
Yeah.
You know, he races them at 4 and 5, and when they need time off, you know, Believe You Can's ready to make her come back, and Mark Bileski's coming back. They'll be racing at the fairgrounds the next month or two. So, you know, he gave him a long rest, and, you know, he really treats him very well.
If you stay around here, you almost have to give him a long rest. Not many places to run. Since last week, we've had last week's show, we've had 3 days of racing, you know. Hey, Don Combs, how are you this morning?
Here he is, 1970 Dust Commander, Kentucky Derby winner, Don Combs. Got any extra horses? He's got an extra stall.
Yeah. Well, you're...
Are you filled up, Don, now, or you still got a stall or
two? Sit down, Don.
I've got one real bad owner. And that's me.
You got one bad owner, and that's the worst kind of owner, I'll tell you.
Now, do you argue with yourself? Do you pay your own bills?
I try.
There's one worse kind of owner, Don, and that's one that doesn't pay his bills.
Well, I had a bunch of those. So.
Down through the years.
That's why I've got the one now.
Move a little closer.
Now, that's why I have the one now. But I went through, you know, getting my knees replaced this summer. I sort of backed up a little bit. But now I'm doing great, so... I'll get myself rolling here pretty soon.
I saw you coming up the hill. You weren't even limping.
I can walk. Shoot, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Straighten up those bow legs of yours. You grew 2 inches?
Yeah. I haven't measured, but I know I'm taller.
I knew you were.
Had to be.
Well, as long as you've been sitting on horses, no wonder you had bow legs.
Well, I started when I was a little kid riding bareback on those old workhorses. You know, they're big and fat and... They're all, you know, how you start out with old work bridles on them. I had to climb up on the fence to get on them, but that's how I started out with horses, really. But I'm an animal lover. I like all animals. I like every. I thought a loose horse out there. They're still out there training.
Might be. No, they're still training. Did you train this morning?
Yeah, I jogged.
You jogged this morning?
I jogged 2 miles this morning.
Track wasn't that bad. We've had some workers.
Well, I saw some, but I've been patient, so I'll be patient a little longer.
Yeah, you've run on worse tracks.
Oh, I'm sure I have. I've trained on worse too.
Michael's phone is ringing.
I heard that John was coming over this morning, so I thought maybe he might be here yet. He's a good friend of mine.
John's coming over at about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, John, tell him I said hello.
Come back and talk to him.
I don't finish, so I'll probably go home and eat breakfast or something.
Talked about food. That's
another life's luxuries.
Yeah, John's a good. He'll do well. You know, he not only has he run farms and been a blood stock and a jockey agent. I used to ride his jockey when he had a jockey. Matter what, he won a race farm here at Keeneland. I shipped the horse down here and he had. I forget the jockey he had. That was back in probably the 80s.
Yeah.
But before that, he used to train. He trained for a long time, and you know, he started out working with Hal Steele.
Did he really?
He used to work for Hal Steele when he was real young, and then later on, then he trained. Matter of fact, I've sent horses to him, but he had a couple when I was training for Blob Ball. He was over at Philadelphia, and I sent a couple of horses over there. He had over there at old Libertyville.
Libertyville.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's John's been around a long time. You know, he used to live right across the street.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, he used to live in that right across from Walmack.
Well, his wife worked over there, didn't she?
Yeah, she worked over there for Johnny Jones for a long time. Yeah, she was big. She was the big instrumental in a lot of things over there. She was very good. She's a very sharp horsewoman herself, and she shows hunters and jumpers. She still does. They have some dressage horses, but yeah, John lived in that house you see right in front of the gate up there. That's where he used to live.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. At one time. That was later on. That was after they were there later after George Walden was there. He used to manage when the McIlvains were there. After they did.
Well, you know, he'd been over to managing over there at Vinery.
Right, right. And they're course, selling out, I understand.
They're going out of business. Yeah. The owner's from Germany.
Is that right? I didn't know. I heard they were, but I didn't know why.
I wonder if he loaned a lot of money to Greece or something.
I don't know.
It's a beautiful place, Finery.
Yeah, it is.
Is it the old Hurricane Stud? Is that where it is now? Was that not out there on Georgetown on Georgetown Road?
That's no,
not
it. It's the old Northridge.
Oh, yeah. Northridge on Yarnell.
It's over on Spur and Yarnell.
Yeah. Okay, that was a lovely place. Those barns were great. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I didn't know, track and everything.
I was thinking it was out there, Stanley Petter's area. I don't know who's out there. I guess I thought that's who.
Hurricane Hall.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. When you're going out to old Georgetown, in fact, right. you cross right. over the interstate.
Right.
It's right there on the left.
Yeah.
I see Howell a lot.
I saw him. I saw him. I was over at Chris McCarron over at his house one night, and he came in over there Christmas night. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I've known him a long, long time.
Well, he had something that was running up in Canada that was running pretty good, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe it was a Sky Classic.
Oh, yeah. He's a really good friend over there with the lady that owns Pin Oak, and that's where he stands up.
Yeah, Miss Abercrombie. That's where I saw her last.
Yeah, over Miss Abercrombie.
No, Pin Oak, they sponsored one of the stakes out there. The Pin Oak,
the Stakes of Keeneland, you mean?
Yeah.
And he probably made a presentation or help with her or something.
Well, I don't know. She wasn't there. She was out of town.
Oh, I see.
She was in Texas, yeah. But he was there. Mm-hmm. And that's where I saw Hi last. And of course, we sat and chatted. And then he and Jackie started talking show horses, and I had to leave.
Yeah, he's very interesting. He's been around the horse business a long time. Good person.
Yep, I is. Yes, he is. He used to sell those weanlings, and he would advertise them as the Windling Weanlings. Run these little ads in the racing form.
He's a very distinguished man. He's always very well. Boy, he always looks very distinguished looking. Always.
He's just a fun guy to know.
Yep. You know? Very fun. Yeah. I've known him since.
Do you know him, Michael?
No, I don't. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I've known him since back in the 50s, probably.
I think he listens to the show occasionally. So, if you haven't been out to old friends, you need to get out there and look
at him. Yeah, absolutely. There you go.
Have a look.
Yeah.
I need to go
out
there
myself. It's a good day for it.
I need to go out there myself.
We got a new horse today.
What'd you get?
A nice sprinter from California who made most of his reputation out in California named Disturbing the Peace.
Disturbing the Peace. Mm-hmm.
Daryl Vienna had him, and he won. He's actually the only horse to ever win the Pat O'Brien twice out there. So.
Oh, okay.
Nice big red horse.
When nice did disposition. Just got him in?
10 o'clock.
This morning?
9:30, I think.
9:30.
Sally Van was early.
Sally Van's always early.
They're fabulous. Yeah. They brought him all the way from Florida for free.
Did they really? Mm-hmm.
They're great. What a great organization. Oh. It always has been. Always back to Mom and Dad and to Bobby, the whole family. They've been great.
Remember when they had the Bobby had the place
on Versailles Road?
On Versailles Road behind that gas station.
So when I get some cheese or bologna sandwich or something,
Yeah, right. We remember seeing. Yeah.
There you go. We should go in the new office and see if they've served what they're serving.
We just went back about a half a century there. You know,
I got cheese and bologna sandwiches. My arteries are clogging just thinking about it. Let's eat something really nutritious today.
Well, throw in a little country ham, and
you probably
stock your coal right there. I got to take a break here, guys. Let's see, who am I doing?
Judmont.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Hey, you want to do these commercials?
No, you're doing a fine job. I'm just a teleprompter.
Yeah, right. I have to write them, so I'm going to read them, by golly. Okay. Well, last Sunday at Santa Anita Misdirection. What a grand match. Wasn't that a heck of a race?
Yeah, you know, it's great that she's owned by Jim Rome, too.
You know,
Jim Rome has that show on TV. He's always talking about Misdirection. It's done. That horse is going to do a lot for racing because it's getting a lot of good publicity for racing in the mainstream sports media.
Well, she's a flat run. Boy, she's got a kick. I thought she was beat at the
16th. Me too. I thought Kendall was going to go on.
Yeah.
And that was it. Nope.
Yeah. Didn't. I was rooting like heck for her.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, last Sunday at Santa Anita Misdirection, the 5-year-old mare by Mizzen Mass won the grade $250,000 Monrovia Stakes. The day before, Ultimate Eagle, a 5-year-old horse by Mizzen Mass, was a pace-setting second, beating ahead in the Grade 2 San Pasquale. Misdirection forced the pace in the Monrovia, then displayed the spectacular closing rush that resulted in her victory in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. She beat males that day. Misdirection in 13 career starts, has 8 wins, has never been out of the money, and she's earned over $1 million. and she's a finalist for an Eclipse Award. Ultimate Eagle won the Grade 2 Stroube in 2012 and the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby and the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby the year before, earned over $547,000. Misdirection is a Grade 1 sprinter on grass. Ultimate Eagle won the Grade 2 Stroube on dirt and the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby on grass, both around two turns. The two have combined record of 25 starts, 13 wins, and 22 times in the money, and both are 5 years old. Ms. Mass sires versatile, doable runners with class. The only sire of two winners of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races in 2012, Ms. Mass, $15,000 live foal at Judmont Farms. Inquiries to Garrett Orker, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, Brist class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Get Stormy earned $1,606,812. You win $1 million by taking on and defeating a lot of high-class stakes winners. Winners like Wise Dan, Court Vision, Precious Passion, Little Mike, Tour Allure, Sydney's Candy. He won 9 stakes, 3 grade 1, most in front-running fashion. Broke his maiden and a maiden special as a 2-year-old, then won graded stakes at 3, 4, 5, and 6. Get Stormy was tough, durable, fast, and game, and you just can't ask for any more than that. But there is more. He's the son of the nationally ranked sire, Stormy Atlantic, and we took the opportunity to inspect him just last Sunday, and he's an impressive individual. So go see him. You're going to like what you see, and while there, ask about Crestwood Farms' Share the Upside program. It's a good one. Incidentally, Get Stormy won those 3 Grade 1 stakes at 3 different tracks, Churchill Downs, Keeneland, and Gulfstream Park. So give Pope McLean a call. Crestwood Farm is 859-252-3770. And for more information, see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Ooh, all right. Ran into Pope McLean at the sale yesterday.
Oh,
day
did
before
you?
Yesterday, yeah.
Well, went out to this stallion showing last Saturday and got to see them all. So yeah. Get Stormy. And
we're all sitting. Yeah, Get Stormy. Yep, out of a Curie's Clown Dam, old friends connection. Mary Sullivan, Sloan's. Hey, this is cool. Alfred Knuckles, old friends at Hurstland Farm for a long, long time before he moved over to Georgetown. We owe Alfred an awful lot, but I'll tell you something. He was over there, and he's still floating around. He sold a nice please sign in horse for 1.4 something,
yeah,
million dollars.
So. Yeah, Alfred would be good for a touch today, wouldn't you think?
I know. I keep hanging out there hoping that's the case. It hasn't happened yet, though. I even gave him a bottle of old friend's bourbon to kind of juice everything up, but that hasn't worked yet either.
Here comes your buddy now.
I see him, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of here, but I'll speak to him.
All righty. Well, Don, thanks.
Don, good to see you, pal. Great to see you. Great. I can't wait.
Stop by old friends over there.
Yeah, she'll do that.
All right.
So we should... we should mention, too, some of the writers that won Eclipse Awards. Local writers, Glennie Kane Oakberg won, Mary Simon won an Eclipse Award for writing. That's great. In fact, the article that my friend Stan Grossfeld wrote for the Boston Globe finished second to Mary Simon's in the voting.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I see Mark, Mary's husband, is writing for the Race Reform.
Yeah.
He's got an article in today's Race Reform.
Yeah, very good article, and he's a very good writer. He's a great editor, and I'm glad a lot of those guys. I saw Tom Law the other day, formerly of Thoroughbred Times. Yep, he's gone to work for the Clancy brothers up in for Steeplechase Times and Saratoga paper up there. So that's really good. All these guys, Frank Angst, of course, moved over to the Blood Horse. So, Nicole Russo's writing for the Racing Form now. So
yeah.
They've all landed on their feet, which just indicates how talented that staff was.
Yeah, it was a good magazine. I hated to see go.
Yes, me too. Absolutely, but. You know, circumstances beyond their control.
Well, yeah, you know, the economy the way it is in the horse business, way it is. And
yeah, but they were doing well. I mean, the fact of the matter is the guy that owned it owns a whole bunch of magazines, and he was draining some of the money out of the Thoroughbred Times to support some of his losing magazines.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they had to stand on their own, you know, their internet service was starting to really improve. Their website was really good. They did a daily. They had hired Nicole Russo from New York to come down here to run their daily news wing for the internet, and that was going well. They were making money on their internet site, so they were, you know, they were on the cusp of, you know, being in fine shape. But again, circumstances beyond their control, kind of.
Yeah, did of course, it was basically the old Thoroughbred Record, you know.
Yeah,
of course, there was a gap in there when the Thoroughbred Record went out of business. And that was Arnold Kirkpatrick's family, you know.
I still miss Arnold.
I miss Arnold. I knew his dad Hayden real well, and I knew Arnold since we were both young, you know. He didn't change in all those years.
Arnold was one of the funniest, smartest guys I've ever met. He was really, really charming.
Yeah, he was.
He called me up when we had to get an appraisal done on the farm. He says, "Well, $2,500. If you'd promise not to call me for 2 years, I'll do it for free."
That sounds just like him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, with the Central Kentucky will be well represented at the Eclipse Awards this year.
Yes, not only that, but Kentucky Bridge, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're all right there.
I'd love to see Breuer get Breed of the Year.
Me too. I would too. You know, they should have some special awards just for people that do the job correctly.
Yeah.
And stop. You know, every year the person, I mean, you know, obviously Adina Springs does a great job and Darley does a great job and a lot of the other breeding operations do a great job. But there's got to be some kind of an award for a trainer and an owner, for example, that do really, really well with just a handful of horses.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Well, you know, back when Ted Bassett was in charge of that, he used to come to Logan Bailey and I over at when we were working at the racing farm, and we would nominate who we thought, you know, and then we would pick. And we picked a lady out of Maryland one time who had a broodmare banner of about 12 horses and 4 grade 1 stakes winners.
Wow, you know? There you go.
And they gave it to her. I forget the lady's name now. You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's not all numbers.
No, it's not.
No.
No. No. And it's, you know, he's done so much for the industry, too. Barry has. And, of course, the piece, you know, I tell you, Adina Springs, it was a great plus for Bourbon County when they moved in.
Oh, yeah. And it's a great operation. It's
absolutely.
If people haven't visited over there and seen what an amazing operation is over at Adina Springs, and, you know, they don't get much. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but the accommodations that they have for their help, it's like going to a spa.
Yeah,
you know, they have soccer fields and tennis courts and swimming pools, and I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about quitting my job, see if they'll hire me as a groom. I can move up in class.
They built a heck of a football field for Bourbon County High School down there.
Did they?
Yeah. You know, you think you're walking into, you know, UK or something. You know, it's really nice.
Great. Well, you know, it's just amazing what a lot of these farms have done for Central Kentucky, and it's.
Well, Claiborne is always grateful.
Claiborne, very, very grateful.
Claiborne does so much down there, too, you know, and has for years and years and years, years got a history doing it. So, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the Ghost Zapper here.
Oh.
I'm looking at the Shadwell Farm thing. I've got to call them up and ask if they'll donate a Jazzle Halter to old friends. I've got to call Kent Barnes up there.
I tell you, the horse I love out there is De Hare.
I know.
I wrote a commercial on him. You know, he's got his first 9 starters, 8 winners, a stakes winner, and 2 stakes place.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Well, I like Jazzle because we're going to do this special get-together at the Belmont Stakes this year, and I'm trying to collect halters from all the Belmont winters to auction off so we can make some dough.
I've got a halter I'm going to donate back to you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I bought it from one of those auctions.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll give it back to you.
You're the best. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm still your pal.
It's a Breeders' Cup. Classic winner.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, I won't say who it is over the air, but.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You suckered me into buying it.
That's great. Well, I'm sure you've enjoyed it all these years.
Yeah, right. Hanging up down in the barn.
I have
man, when I look around my living room and I got Black Tie Affairs and Precisionist Last Halter and Black Tie Affairs Last Halter and Jade Hunter and Glitterman and Ruhlman and all that Polish Navy, woo.
I got my my ballot, nomination ballot, list of horses to pick for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Mail earlier this week.
Yeah. Vote early and often for Black Tie Affairs. Is he on the list?
Oh, yeah.
No, good.
He's
he almost got in last year, I've told.
Well.
He almost got nominated last year.
I did.
Right.
I mean, I voted for them to pick him, you know, but it wasn't enough. You know, for him to become one of the nominees.
Right.
All I do, us peons, all we do is make suggestions.
Yeah, exactly.
About who, and then the nominating committee picks him, you know. But
Anyway, he's horse of the year and won the Breeders' Cup Classic, and his credentials are certainly as good or better than some that are already in there.
Yeah,
so.
Speaking of Shadwell, Invisor is one of them, and I think he deserves a whole thing.
Yeah. Nice horse. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Got what he did. Yeah. He even won a bet for me. That's hard to do.
Oh, my God. That should move him up a few notches. Holy cow. An all-out effort.
All right. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get John on here.
All right, Ursa. Well, if anybody wants to come on a tour, it's a beautiful day. It's warm. It's nice. Beth will be doing some tour today. Actually, we have one going out at 11 o'clock. You still have 20 minutes to get to the farm.
All right. Well, they'll wait on you.
Yeah. I hope so. Thank you so much, Ursula.
All right, Michael.
See you, buddy.
Good luck, my friend.
Thanks.
Don't forget your farm now. Just don't take mine. I see you almost walked off of my farm.
I see you writing your name on it now. Ursula. E-R-C-E-L. Ursula. It says it right here.
Well, hey, you knew how to spell it.
There you go.
I was in the sixth grade before I knew how to spell it.
You were in the advanced class.
No. When I was a baby, everybody would come and ask, how's the boy? Because I had an older sister, you know, and then everybody called me boy. So when I started in the first grade, I signed Boy Ellis, you know.
Right.
And finally, got up to the sixth grade, and they wouldn't stand for that anymore. And I really didn't know how to spell my middle name, which was Francis. So, you know, I'd never spelled it written out in school or anything like that, you know. So I spelled it with an E when I told them instead with an I, you know, as you would Francis for a male, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, so they corrected me.
Well, that's why it's really good that you're still exploiting your spelling ability, because I can see
I did not write that on
correctly.
That.
On
I did not write that on that.
And on your racing form to prevent me from stealing it.
Anne wrote that on there over at the main office.
Oh, okay. So
that's where my phone arrives over there, see. Now pick them up there.
Well, there you go.
I don't know why in hell I owe you an explanation.
I don't know why you do either. It's very nice of you to do it.
All right. Well, eight of the first nine starters by De Hare have won. One has won graded stakes and two have placed in stakes. We all know Gypsy Robin. This daughter of De Hare has won the grade two $250,000 Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland, the grade $250,000 Beaumont Stakes, also at Keeneland, the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth Park, the $100,000 Inaugural Stakes at Presque Isle, and she was second in Saratoga's grade one Test Stakes for earnings of $498,000. Then there is Asiya. Asiya broke her maiden by 11 lengths last December at Aqueduct. Then she was second in the $100,000 Busanda Stakes at Aqueduct on January 5. Now, keep in mind that De Hare is a grade one stakes winner by the elite sire Awesome Again, whose 2013 stud fee is $75,000 live foal. In fact, De Hare is one of 12 grade one winners by Awesome Again, a list that includes the brilliant Ghost Zapper, the sire of 15 2012 stakes winners, including two grade one winners. Ghost Zapper stud fee is $35,000. De Hare stands for $5,000. Live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4584. And incidentally, just on January the 9th, that was Wednesday, I believe, the $75,000 True and Blue Stakes up at Aqueduct was won by Head Heart Hoof. And Head Heart Hoof is by Interdab. And, of course, Interdab also stands at Shadwell Farm. See the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my good friend Kent. Who's Jackie talking to out there?
Michael.
Oh, Michael. He is doing something, and she's got something written down. Well, I'll just let her do it to announce, doing her announcement about Quillen, what Ralph Quillen is doing over there with his new restaurant, a new beer joint. He's going to open it. She's got the name and everything, and I should be able to figure that out. Anyway, it's Quill and Leather and Tack. I do know about that. The nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship over 17,000 halters a year. Ship them worldwide. This particular halter I was talking to Michael about just the other day came from right there. And most of the top horse farms around here use it, especially if you're from Bourbon County down there. So it's a great tack shop. The great leather goods there, in fact, none better. They use nothing but the best. And there's so many things that you can use. There's stuff in there for pets and, you know, leashes and collars and so forth for pets and for people. You can go in and get your belts or your key tags. It's just a wonderful place to visit. So much so, so much fun to go in there that the tours stop by. And, yeah, Jim, send John, come on in. Anyway, that's Ralph Quillen's. Quilling Leather and Tack. Jackie, you got something about Ralph here, but we'll just do that doing the announcements, right? Right? Didn't you have something?
He's going to brew beer.
He's going to brew beer. Yeah, I think he's got a king size bathtub that he's going.
Now that's the gin.
He thinks he's back in Prohibition again.
Gin's in the bathtub. Beer's in a barrel or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. Maybe John Gasper knows. You know where it is, John?
No, I'm not a drinker, so I couldn't tell you anything about that.
You're not a drinker?
No, sir.
Well, you're no fun.
Well, that's what my wife says. You're
no fun. All right. Well, anyway, this is Quillen Leather and Tack. Let me tell you. Hey, Grubby. Leonard Atkinson is here. And anyway, Quillen Leather and Tack, it's in Bourbon County, right across from Ken's Newmark. You're going in from this area into Paris. Just keep going straight, go to the third stoplight, and it's right there on your left. Great place to visit. So why don't you go in there and take a look around? Well, Mythical Power is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $821,000. To stand his first season of stud this year at Warhorse Place in Lexington, Mythical Power earned that $821,000 while competing against many of the best of his generation. Quality Road, Awesome Jam, Brass Hat, Jersey Town, Minehead Bird. That's just to mention but a few of the grade one winners he took on at distances from 6 furlongs to 1 1/8. Won the grade three Lone Star Derby, the grade three Texas Mile Stakes. Sprinted 7 furlongs and 1:20. That bears repeating. 7 furlongs and 1:20. That was at Santa Anita, where he had early won a maiden special. Ran second to Eclipse Award finalist Quality Road in the historic Grade 1 Woodward. Ran second, beating Kentucky Derby winner Minehead Bird in the Sunland Derby. He also placed in the Grade 2 San Carlos. Mythical Power is one of 10 stakes winners from the first two crops by Congaree. Winner of 5 Grade 1 stakes, placed in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, and earner of over $3,267,000. And he is one of 2 Grade 1 stakes horses out of Mary Sheba, who placed in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks. Mythical Power stands for $7,500 due when the foal stands and nurses. And, in fact, for the first 15 mares that breed to him, you breed twice and you get a free breeding right for life. Can't miss that. That's for the first 15 mares that have bred to him. So call down there and talk to Gary Assinger. Here's his number. It's 859-509-0053. Or you can speak to his wife. She's much prettier. Dana Assinger. Her number is the same area code as here, 509-3157. And ask about possible breeding incentives, including that breed twice and breed for life deal that they've got going. And see the website at warhorseplace.com. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm Nora. John, how are you?
Good.
You got the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, this is a thing.
Pro-Am. Oh, do you play golf?
Well, not as much as I used to, but looks like I'm going to have a little more time to do it again. I used to play 3 or 4 times a week.
Well, why not? Well, it's a bad time of the year for that, but today.
Well, I'm heading for Florida this week.
Yeah.
There's nothing going on up here. You know, it's all the sales and stuff. And I got some friends down there at
Hand me a pencil over here. Go ahead.
Some trainers down there want me to come down and, you know, and help just find some stuff for them down there in Florida. So I'll be down there.
2-year-old sales and stuff like that?
Well, and old horses, too.
And old horses? Mm-hmm. So you're bloodstocking?
Well, that's what I was doing before I went over to Vinery.
Yeah.
Know? So that's what I'm going to continue to do. You know, unless something else comes up that, you know, that comes along. I've been fortunate enough to keep some clients from years and years ago, you know, that I've always filled, you know, they've always given me some things to do. So I continue to have them, and hopefully I've I had a little article in the Thoroughbred Daily News on Monday and Wednesday, mm-hmm. and I had some calls on wasn't an advertisement, basically just letting people know that I'm still alive. And I had calls from South America and Australia, and ooh. a lot of people from the United States that guys like you know, that up east that I hadn't seen in years, and that saying, you know, that they would try and help me out and give me some business and stuff like that, buy horses for them at the sale. So right now that's what I'm going to continue to do until, well, who knows, you know.
Yeah. What's the name of your agency?
It's just Gasper Bloodstock is all. That's what I bought under this year, this week out of Keeneland. And
Well, you've got a website, though, or something.
No, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not a website guy. I'm just a, you know, I kind of a quiet guy.
Recovering jocks agent's what he is.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I pretty much, you know, I mean, the guys that know me. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and it's.
Well, now, I read something. It was a website or.
I don't have a website. I don't have anything like that, Ursula. I've got a friend that lives in Dallas, and he's a young entrepreneur kind of guy, and I've been buying some horses for him here in the last 6-8 months, and he says he's one of those guys. How you got it? You know, he's technologically over the top and does it. You know, I mean, he can do it all. And he said, "Oh, you got to do this, you got to do that." I said, "I don't know about all that stuff." I said, "It's like a good horse. If they want them, they'll find them. You know, if they want me, they'll find me. It ain't gonna be hard to find me." Yeah. So,
but I need a little more help than that.
You do? Well, I mean, you know, it's always nice to have that, but I guess, but really. Yeah, I mean, other than, you know, emails and stuff like that, I mean, you know, now with the phones and stuff, with all your, you know, everybody's got a phone they're carrying around. I mean, it's not hard to find somebody. I mean, somebody knows where you are somewhere,
yeah.
You know. And okay. The thing I did on Monday and Wednesday, it ran in the TDN, and Barry Wiseboard at the TDN helped me a lot. Sue Finley helped me a lot to get that thing together. And it's just basically said that
that's where I saw it.
Yeah, it, you know, just kind of gave a little background.
Yeah, I read that every day. I go to that every day.
What I've done, yeah. And so, you know, because I just wanted to let people know that I'm not with Vinery anymore, and that, you know, that I'm on my own. So,
you and a whole lot of other people aren't with Vinery anymore.
Yeah, it's not a, you know, it's too bad because Mr. Simon put a lot of. Time and you know,
and had a great thing going.
Yeah, and he enjoyed the racing and you know, enjoyed all aspects of it. But like I say, one thing that doesn't change is there's always change.
Yeah,
you know, so that's unfortunately you know, it's happened to other farms too. You know, around here, as we know that the, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, the father died or whatever, and the family don't want, the kids don't want, you know, that type of thing. I mean, it's, you know, and it'll happen and keep on happening, I guess. But right now, the farm is only one part. There was three, you know, we had the farm, one in Australia, which he did keep part of that farm in Australia. Yeah, mm-hmm. He sold 3/4 of that off, and he still has 1/4 of that. And but there's this farm in Florida sold to Stone Street. That's the training center. That was the training, which was built from scratch. Lovely place, but was built from scratch in 2005. So it's fairly new place, and it's got about 100 stalls on it, and a 7/8 training track, and a 3/4 turf track. So it's a lovely place, and I believe Stone Street is going to keep on. Right now, I think anyway, they're going to keep on taking outside horses beside their own. But anyway. And, you know, there's been some offers here on this farm. There have been no quote unquote deals done on it. And then of course the farms in New York were lease farms. So
okay.
There was no property involved there. It was just basically a business. And so that's still intact right now anyway, for right now. Of course there's seven stallions up there too. So, you know, with the breeding season right around the corner, they're going to continue probably at least through the end of breeding season, I would guess. I don't know. So.
Well, breeding season, they've kept some studs here, too.
Yeah, there's five of them left out there.
As far as that goes.
Yeah, there's five left out there.
Yeah. Let me take a break here. I'm getting behind. I get to shooting off my mouth here, and I get messed up. Easy to do.
Easy to do.
What's the old term about screwing up a one-car funeral?
Yeah.
I'm really good at that.
You're
right. You know, there was a horse named One Car Funeral at one time.
I think Doug Davis had
Doug him. Had him, and you know he bolted in his first start as a two-year-old coming out down the Heatley course. So he was well-named. Anyway, well, undefeated Vijack, winner January 5 of the Grade 2 $250,000 Jerome Stakes at Aqueduct, and Golden Sense, winner that same day of the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at Santa Anita, are three-year-olds from the first crop by In the Mischief, and both are on the Derby trail. And take note that In the Mischief was an original Share the Upside Spendthrift Farm Stallion. So, if you participated in that program, you now own a lifetime breeding right to In the Mischief, so congratulations. That said, it would well behoove you to contact Spendthrift Farm and check the breeding incentives that are available now to other Spendthrift Stallions. The number out there is 859-294-0030. Ask for either Ken Wilkins, Dez Dempsey, or Mark Toothaker. In the Mischief is also the sire of the multiple stakes winner and graded place filly Sitting at the Bar in his first crop. He's a grade one stakes winner himself, and he's a son of last year's number one ranked sire on the juvenile sire list, Harlan's Holiday, whose stud fee has climbed to $35,000. The Spendthrift Stallions for 2013 are Arch Arch Arch, Into Mischief, Line of David, Malibu Moon, Notional, Patio Prado, Temple City, Tis Wonderful, Tis Way, Warriors Reward, and Wilburn. Your inspection's invited. See the website at spendthriftfarm.com. I want to talk about a product called Reborn, and I'm talking about it. It's made by the same company that makes Lubricin, as a matter of fact. And Reborn is it strengthens the immune system in horses of all ages, and it's 100% sterile whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum, and it's safe, it's easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all age, and starting with foals. Of course, foaling season's here now, and what it does is strengthens the foal's immune system immensely while nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages, thus providing a quick recovery from physical challenges. And Reborn really gets the job done. It's a supplement to assist in colostrum, and you know they're always running out of colostrum at the Haggard's and the other vet places around here. So you farm managers take note about that. Lubricin is both these were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, by the way, and Lubricin is used by some of the top trainers in the country: Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, to mention just a few of them. Our own Jimmy Cargan uses it out here. Lubricin sustains the integrity of the joint fluid, helps reduce the need for costly and painful hyaluronic acid injections, and trainers use it extensively. And they also make it for humans too. And I take it, and Jackie takes it, and I will take you on in a foot race. How's that? So it's good stuff. Here's both the Lubricin and Reborn. For more about it, here's a number, 800 number, 901-9489. And you can pick it up here in Lexington at KBC or down in Versailles at Horse Sense. And I hope that they've got it down at Quill and Tack now. I know Ralph was talking to him about stocking it. So call Quill and Tack down in Paris and talk to them about it. Or you can... remember those names, that Lubricin, L-U-B-R-I-S-Y-N, or Reborn. Can't go wrong with them.
All right, well, if you want a sound horse that gets to the races and wins, take a close look at Sky Classic. From foals of racing age, they decided 82% starters and 60% winners. They averaged 21 starts each, 59 have won stakes. What's more, 105 have won a place in stakes. So you've got a great chance of black typing your mare when you breed the Sky Classic. Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic earned over $3,320,000. He's by Nijinsky II out of a broodmare of the year. Stands for 7,500 live foal of Pin Oak Stud. That's also the home of Broken Vow and Cowboy Cow. Broken Vow was the third-ranked sire of stakes winners last year with 19. In addition, 9 others placed in stakes. That's 28 stakes horses in 2012 alone. Broken Vow's by Unbridled. He stands for 25,000 live foal. And the first foals by Cowboy Cow are 2-year-olds. His first crop yearling sold for up to $150,000, and he stands for 7,500 live foal. He won stakes at 2, 3, and 4, won 5 graded stakes, placed in 6 more, 4 grade 1, earned over $1 million. Cowboy Cal is by Champion Sire Giants Causeway. Inquiries with Clifford Barry or Nancy Stevens to see the website at pinoakstud.com. Righty, I'm talking to my friend John Gasper here. Don Combs came in here just to see you earlier this morning.
I saw him on the way out there. I talked to him for a moment here out on the porch, and Don and I have been friends for many, many years, and done some business together, you know, when I had riders and this and that. And I think he mentioned, I heard it on the way in, that he'd sent me a horse or two down when he was training for Mr. Anthony up there in Monmouth, and had some success with some of those things he sent down there. Then it was Keystone. I think he said Liberty Bell, but that's even before, a little bit before. I was actually at Liberty Bell. I worked at Liberty Bell when they first opened it up there.
Was that the same track there?
No, it was different. That was at Liberty Bell is actually a trotting track.
Oh, okay.
And then they converted it to a thoroughbred track and started running thoroughbreds there. And when they didn't run thoroughbreds, they would use the trotting track was kind of on the inside of the dirt track.
Yeah, it must have been a half mile trotting track.
I don't know what it was, but in between meets, like the Liberty Bell would run right after Churchill. We used to go up there in December, January, February. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe we're in the first part of February, then we go to Hot Springs after that. But and then after Churchill, when Churchill only had the 30-day meets, you know, mm-hmm. In the spring, when it was just May, and then Miles Park would go, we would leave Churchill and go on up there for the summer at Liberty Bell. But I was a system trainer for Jimmy Cowden for years.
Whatever happened to Jimmy?
Well, of course, his father had Poplar Hill,
yeah.
You know, and yeah. All those
Mitos.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, they were runners.
Yeah.
And we had
Colt
a lot
McLean
of
used to breed out there, and he said that the yearling sales, all these people come around and say, I want to look at them Mitos.
Mitos, yeah. And I don't know. I haven't talked to Jimmy in I don't know how many years. I don't know where he is. Somebody told me that he lives in Columbia, South Carolina now, but I'm not sure.
Did real well.
Oh yeah, he was a real. I mean, Jimmy was a good horseman, but he was also a good businessman. You know, and he always had a public stable. But a lot of them were his father's too. But so he, you know, his stable was a productive stable.
Yeah.
You know, we had horses like Mr. Clinch and horses like that.
I remember.
You know, and Red.
What was Charmer. That good filly that Mito sired?
Oh, yeah. Dainey Dotsey.
Oh, yeah. She was a flat runner.
They just put her in the Pennsylvania Hall of Fame last year.
Did they really?
Yeah. Oh, she was a runner. Yeah, she was a really nice runner.
Did they have her while you were with
them? Yeah.
Had Dainey Dotsey. That must have been fun having her.
Oh, she was the queen up there, you know, for those kind of races and those little stakes races up there then. But, yeah, she was really fast to But yeah, Liberty Bell. Anyway, but that was I worked as an official at Liberty Bell for Howard Battle too.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you who was in our office: Larry Kraft, who was end up running Lone Star, and let's see who else was in there. Actually, a guy named a couple of guys that end up stewards down in Tampa: John Hanley. And a few guys like that, they're all, unfortunately, they've passed away now. But Larry's still around somewhere. I'm not sure what he's doing. But anyway, I worked for Howard, and I worked for Howard here at Keeneland for years as an official, too. And in our office was Terry Meeks was the assistant racing secretary. Donnie Richardson was one of the placing judges. myself.
Who was the starter out there at that time?
Tommy Wagner. Cuz. Tommy called me Cuz Wagner. He was a starter for there in Hot Springs in Churchill. You know, he was that was his.
Were you out there when Puckett was out there?
Yeah. Don Plunkett.
The dad managed K-Met for or worked over K-Met. Yeah. I don't know and if his, he managed it.
And his brother, Everett, had at the time it was the Chevron station on the corner of Russell Cave and New Circle.
Yeah.
His brother Everett ran that for years.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether Everett's still alive or not, but I'm sure he doesn't have it now. But anyway, if he's still alive. But Plunkett, you know, he was an all-star athlete.
Oh, yeah, played in at Lafayette. The other end was Doug Shively.
Was it?
Yeah.
And, you know, he ran track, too.
Did he?
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
he didn't go to college. He turned down scholarships.
Yeah, he ended up going to Kentucky, and then he went to Texas A&M with Bear Bryant.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, boy.
Yeah.
Did he stick it through?
Yeah, and he was married at the time, and Bear gave his wife a free ride down there at Texas A&M if he would come down there.
Yeah.
But he was a heck of a football. He was just a good athlete.
Yeah.
You know, and then after
I didn't think he'd ever went to, you know, play college ball.
Yeah. And then after he was a starter at Monmouth too, you know, there for a while after he left Keeneland. And then in the wintertime, he would come to Payson Park and school down there at Payson. And of course, he and Boo Gentry were very good friends.
Yeah.
You know,
so he just passed away.
Yeah. So, and of course, Don passed away too, you know, a couple years ago, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I've lived there.
But he was a character though, Don was. He didn't miss much. When he left here, he checked all the boxes. He did about everything he wanted to do.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. He told me he had to go to Texas A&M because he couldn't afford to take a cut in pay if he got a job.
Oh. Well, that's when Bear went down there, you know, he ended up with about, put him through boot camp down there, and most of them quit.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that. There was a little documentary or movie or something on it one time.
It was a movie, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know if Don had to go through that or not because Bear liked him a lot.
Yeah.
But
did you know you're a golfer, Junior Brewer, Gay Brewer?
I met him a few times out at the U Club, the UK Club. Uh-huh. He used to hang around out there, you know, before he died. He would come out and he'd be out on the range and stuff. And a great guy. He would – easy guy to talk to. And he'd give you some – you know, he'd watch you hit a few balls and give you a
You know, he went to UK on a football scholarship.
Is that right?
Yeah, Bear Bryant gave him one just to come out there and play golf.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever suited up.
Probably not.
No, one way of skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was Don was a heck of a guy. He was a good friend. Yeah. So yeah, there was a
good old days.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were talking about that the other day. Somebody out there at Keeneland, and you know, talking about how you know we used to kind of set horses up to bet on and stuff. You know, years ago because purses were nothing. You know, and then, well, you know, and a $10 mutual was worth a whole lot more than a $10 mutual is today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah,
I mean, you know, you could buy new cars for $2,500 back in. Yeah. You know, and it was of course we were all making $150 a week or $120
a week. That was a hell of a
payday. Yeah, I mean, glad to have it, too. Yeah,
absolutely. Let me take a break here again. I got to catch up. The last Saturday at Aqueduct, the $100,000 Busanda Stakes was won by Princess of Silmar, 3-0 filly in the first crop by Majestic Warrior. She had given ample notice that she was something special, broke her maiden in Pennsylvania by an eye-catching 19 lengths, moved to Aqueduct to take her next outing by 5.5 lengths, and then she won the Busanda under a hand ride by over 7 lengths. Bred by Ed Stanko and trained by Todd Pletcher, Princess Cecile Maher was one of 30 winners from the first crop by Majestic Warrior. He was not only the leading freshman sire of two-year-old winners, but he was the nation's leading sire of two-year-old winners. 5 of the 31 have earned black type. Besides Busanda, stakes winner Princess of Silmar, seasoned warrior, is placed in the Grade 2 Matron at Belmont, Drum Roll in the Grade 3 Sapling at Monmouth. Majestic Warrior was also the leading first crop juvenile sales sire, when 29 two-year-olds sold for an average of over $135,000, including the Keeneland April sales topper for $700,000. Winner of the Grade 1 Hopeful as a two-year-old, Majestic Warrior is by sire of sires AP Indy,
at a Grade 1 winner, Dream Supreme, by seeking the gold. In stands a Coomore's Ashford Stud for $12,500. Payable when the full stands of nurses. For more information, call a farm. 873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXG Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Kentucky's number one certified pre-owned dealer.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price sells cars?
Well, January 5 in Louisville, the $100,000 by the light stakes was won by Dancing in the Circle, a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Divine Park, bred in Kentucky by James Berry and trained by Larry Jones. She won the by the light by 9 widening lengths, missing the 7 furlong track record by less than a second. Winner of a maiden special in her debut, Dancing in the Circle, in her second start, was beaten by just a quarter length in the Grade 3 Arlington, Washington Lassie. Divine Park's also the sire of Blonde Fog, winner of her first start by 12 and a half lengths at Santa Anita, and second in the Grade 1 $500,000 Hollywood Starlet, and her second. Oh, Come On Baby, Light My Fire, filly that's placed in 2 stakes in Canada. The Divine Ambition, winner of his only start of a maiden special by 8 lengths at Turfway Park. He goes today. And from 21st crop starters, 15 have won a place. In 2012, Sears Yearlings by Divine Park sold for an average of nearly 10 times the stud fee of $10,000 due when the foal stands and nurses. And keep in mind that Divine Park has a stamina pedigree. He is a son of Grade 1 winner Chester House, a half-brother to top sire Empire Maker. Chester House sired 3 crops before his untimely death. And from those 3 crops have come 29 stakes winners, 9 graded stakes winners, 2 Grade 1, including Divine Park, winner of the Grade 1 Metropolitan. Divine Park is at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Doan's Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, I'm talking to John Gaster. That must have been Don at call.
Yeah, he wanted me to mention the fact that Plunkett was also a hell of a basketball player, which he could do anything, Don. But and that Bill Greeley also worked for Howard Battle up at Liberty Bell.
Yeah,
in the racing office, he was assistant at that time before he became president of Keeneland. So I mean, I go too far back. But anyway.
I don't want to talk about how far back we go.
But there were a lot of good times, though. There was a lot of fun, you know, back then. It was a lot of camaraderie and you know, guys did things together. And
what was the name of that good jock that you had? You were jock agent.
Well, I've been fortunate in that respect. My first rider was Bobby Ussery. And then I had, after that, I had Sam Maple. Mm-hmm. And Sam did a lot of good together. And I had a kid named Mike Morgan that rode around here. It was leading rider around here in Arlington and places like that. And, he was okay. And then, I brought a kid up named Keith Allen, out of, Louisiana.
The first horse I ever saddled, he rode.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And, he was a really good rider and it just never got the notoriety, but he was, well, the summer meet at Churchill, that one summer meet they had there, we won 109 races over there. Pat Day, I think, won 130 or something like that. Yeah. And, but he rode, Mr. Phipps loved him. Mm-hmm. Mr. Phipps fell in love with him. One winter we always went to Hot Springs and Shug. I was very close friends with Shug, and we always kind of stayed together, roomed together, wherever we got a house together, wherever, you know, a lot of places we went. So Shug's first year he went to Florida instead of Hot Springs. He was, he had, a public stable still, but then he took the Phipps job shortly after that. In the following year when we went down there, he came to me and I used to do all Shug's, when the condition book would come out, I'd, you know, make sure we had all the entries in, because back then at Gulfstream, you had to have 3 or 4 stars to get maiden races. So I was entering horses for stars and I'd keep up with, you know, I'd do all, basically I was doing all Shug's entering, and whenever a new condition book would come out, we would sit down and go through all that. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd tell me which ones were close to running and how I'd tell him how many stars are going to need to get in and things like that. So back then, it was 48-hour entries, and you could leave horses open. So one day, I put a couple of four. He'd just gotten the horse, like, say, Angel Penna had those horses, and there was a bunch of 4-year-old maidens he had, never started. So he put 2 fillies in there, and they happened to split the race. So one got in each end, and when I put them in there, he said, I'll just leave them open. I said, okay. So scratch time comes up the morning of the race, and he And I said, Shook, we got to put some riders on these horses. He said, well, who do you want? He said, I just put anybody on there. I said, well, what about Keith? He said, yeah, go ahead and put him on there. Well, they both won.
Yeah.
And after that, we rode 20, I think it was 27 horses for Shook at that meet, and 19 of them won.
Is that right?
And good Lord. Mr. Phipps was, I mean, he just fell in love with them. And then Keith came up here, and he was leading rider at Keeneland. And
well, whatever happened to him?
Well, he went after he finally he made a lot of money in the tech business, in the tech stocks. Uh-huh. When the tech stocks came out, he made a ton of money. And then he went to work for Billy Mott. He got too big, and he went to work for Billy Mott as an assistant. And he worked for Billy a long time. And then I don't know what happened to him. Billy doesn't know what happened to him.
Is that right?
Yes, I don't know. But going back to the riders, he was one that probably was better.
He was a nice kid.
Oh, Keeneland used him in their ads.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, he was a good-looking kid. Well, yeah. He won the first Queen Elizabeth Challenge Cup
when
it was on the dirt for Steve Penrod. Seth owned the horse, filly named Sintra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've still got the tape of that. Keeneland made a tape of that, and he was living at my house. Keith was. He was like 17 or 18, you know, and I've got a picture of just him and the Queen in the winner's circle.
Is that right?
I said, you don't understand what this means now, but one day you will.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I've got all that, all those clippings and stuff, which I haven't saved a lot of that stuff, but that was one of the things I do have. So he was probably better because he probably could have gone on to New York and done well. Matter of fact, Alan Jerkins always asked me about him still. Alan called one day, he's in the fall, he called down here and he said, you got a Mountain Alcibiades? I said, no, sir. He said, well, I'm going to send a filly down there. He said, I don't know if she's that good. You know how Alan, he was always like, hey, he said, if you want to ride her, you can. I said, yes, sir, I'll ride her. No problem. Well, she won by a pole. I mean, won by seven or eight.
Yeah,
you know? Right. And ever since then, he's always asked me about Keith, you know. Yeah. But and then I had after that, I had Randy Romero for a long time, and we rode Personal Ensign, Seeking the Gold, and a lot of the good Phipps horses for Shug, and a lot of other horses too. John Veach put us on. We won the Florida Derby for John Veach and another filly called Love You by Heart, who ended up winning $1 million. She won the Queen Elizabeth, the Yellow Ribbon, I don't know how many, the Nigena at Saratoga. She won a jillion stakes. And it belonged to Darby Dan. That was when John was training for Darby Dan. John was always good to me, too. He always helped me.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. And then I had, after Randy, I had Cinto Vasquez for a while, and then I had Craig Perrett, finished up with Craig.
How come you quit?
Mr. Farish called me one day, 1999. Never forget it. It was like in May. He said, where are you? I said, I'm at Churchill Downs. He said, what are you doing? I told him. He said, are you coming back to Lexington? I said, yeah. I was driving back and forth every day. He said, stop by the farm. I want to talk to you. I said, okay. So I pulled in the farm there a couple hours later. He said, Bates Newton was the bloodstock agent up until that time. And Bates had left and gone probably at a vinery. I don't know. Maybe he'd start a vinery. He said, I need somebody to run this bloodstock business. Would you be interested in doing that? And he said, you and I will own the business separate from Lane's Inn. It'll be called Lane's Inn Bloodstock, but we'll own the business. And if you're interested in doing that, have at it. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, let me talk to Craig. And Craig said, oh, you got to do that. And plus, I was I just turned 50 at that time. And so I was kind of wanting to stay home for a while. I've been on the road for 30-some years. And and so, you know, so that's how I got into Lane's Inn with him. Yeah. And then, of course, he went to, you know, I'd be the ambassador in England, and I handled the stallions over there with Bill and I.
Well, you started out, I got my mind in Nebraska, didn't you?
I'm from Omaha.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I never, we raced there a little bit when Exarvin was still there on occasion when I had Sammy's book.
Yeah. Do you know the Van Bergs?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You couldn't be from there without knowing them.
No.
Do you know the old man, Marion?
Yeah, I did a little bit, not much.
Yeah, you knew Jack pretty well.
Oh, Jack very well. Yeah, yeah. Rode a lot of horses for Jack through the riders.
I never understand why he's not more popular as a trainer. He did so well for many years.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a it's funny, Ursel. I mean, look at Alan Jerkins and some of the guys that look at Leroy Jolly and guys like that that have won huge. I mean, they've won every race that there is practically.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? And it's a younger generation now. You know, it's the new kid on the block, got the magic, got the whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not the same as it was. Alan Jerkins probably has 8 or 10 horses. You know, I mean, he's still doing it, but he's, you know, close. Well, he's probably in his early 80s now. But what I'm saying is he's probably forgot more than most of these guys will ever know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But people don't realize that. I mean, everything is, and I think that part of what's really happened to this business is it's got too technological. There's too much information out there.
Yeah.
You know, everything is percentages. It's this, it's that. I mean, it's too much, you know. Well, he's got 100 horses in training, you know, and he wins 100 races. Well, he's doing the same thing as a guy's got 10 and
yeah.
he wins 10 races.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no different. It's just that he's got numbers, but his name, the guy that's got 10 race wins 10 races. His name's not on the program.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
cause he doesn't have the numbers. It's a numbers mm-hmm. game now. And you know, I'm not knocking the guys like, you know, there's some good trainers that have a lot of horses. I'm not saying that, you know, Mott and Todd and
yeah.
Chad Brown and guys like that are younger guys.
But you know, people like Alan, he wouldn't want 100 horses.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But and in his time, he probably had as big a stable as anybody.
Yeah, but a big stable in his time was 20 horses.
Exactly, or 30
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
It was all you could put in one barn, let's put
yeah.
it that way.
Yeah, and they wanted to do it themselves. You know, they didn't have somebody training at the other tracks and things like that.
They looked at them horses every day.
Every day, yeah.
You know, and Alan, I'll never forget the first time I met Alan. I was at Saratoga, 1979, and he was a very difficult guy to speak with, you know.
Yeah,
and,
I know. Yeah, I know him, Alan.
And if he didn't know you. And so one afternoon I said, I'm going to go to his barn at feed time and catch him, you know, because yeah. I know in the morning it's hectic.
Yeah.
And there he was. He had a guy pushing the feed cart. He had 3 or 4 or 5 buckets hanging off the feed cart, and he was putting the feed in himself.
Yeah.
And he might throw a couple of scoops of feed in and the supplements, then back up into the stall and look and take another half a scoop and throw it in there.
Is that right?
You know, yeah. I mean, that's the way he trained horses, yeah. you know. And you talk to people, he did train them a little different than a lot of people do, you know
yeah.
what I mean? But, again, like I say, those times are, you know, it's all different now. I mean, it's
I got to know him when he brought Sensitive Prince down here.
Yeah. That was one
I had
horses.
A little broodmare named Duck Out the Door that he had trained.
Yeah.
And he came in, I was working for the racing form at the time. He came in the office and he says, somebody told me you own Duck Out the Door. I said, that's right. He says, I want to go see her. So we had to get in the car and drive out in the country and look at her.
Yeah, that's probably when he's training for Hobo then, I imagine. Hobo Farm.
I don't know. She was a carryback filly.
Probably Mr. Dreyfus owned Hobo Farm.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
And,
could have been training
him. He trained
him
for years and years, you know.
Yeah. It was when he was training Sensitive Prince. Now, was that Dreyfus's horse?
I believe it was. I'm not positive, but I believe it was. But I'm not positive.
He bought a filly from me. I had a 2-year-old filly in training by Pago over at. He gave me $18,000 for her. And he went up and won the Politely with her up east.
Yeah, he's.
That's been a long time ago. Lord, have mercy.
He's quite a guy, Alan is.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. I wanted to give somebody where they can get in touch with you.
Well, my cell phone number is 859.
All right.
361-7733.
And that's John Gasper.
And my email address is JG. B is in boy, STOCK, John Gasper Bloodstock, JGBstock at AOL.com.
AOL.com.
That's it.
What now? JB Bloodstock at AOL.
JGB Stock.
Yeah, JGBstock at AOL.com. I had it right. What are y'all laughing at?
Well, anyway, I'm heading for Florida next week and or this week coming up, I should say. And
been fun talking to you.
Well, I appreciate you having me over. And when we talked a couple of weeks ago, you know, mentioned something about coming over, so I didn't want to bother you, but I was glad that you had time for me. So.
Oh, my goodness. It's fun to talk to you.
Stop in anytime. So,
yeah, anytime. You just stop by and let us know what you're doing.
Well, now that I have a little more time, you know, a little more freedom to get out and get around and stuff, I'll do that. But,
All right, John. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Jackie. Appreciate you.
We'll talk to you a little later.
All right, thank you.
Well, Eddington was the sire of 8 stakes horses in 2012, 5 stakes winners, 3 of them graded stakes winners. Secret Circle won the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes at Oak Lawn, the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes also at Oak Lawn, ran second in the Grade 1 $1 million Arkansas Derby, and the Grade 2 Sham at Santa Anita, and boosted his earnings to over $1 million. Brushed by a Star won the Grade 2 Marley Pitcher at Monmouth, the Grade 2 Shaluki at Churchill, and the $100,000 Iowa Distaff, placed in 2 more stakes, including the Grade 2 Falls City at Churchill. And the 2-year-old filly Gold Edge won 3 of her 4 starts, including the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie and the Lisa M. Stakes, both at Arlington. Eddington, a Grade 1 stakes winner and classic place son of Unbridled, earned over $1,216,000, stands for $5,000 doing a full stanza of nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252. See the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business. The Clay Ward agent, give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Giacomo and his first 3 crops, and that includes 2-year-olds last year, has sired 15 stakes horses, 7 stakes winners. In fact, some 14% of his starters have won a place in stakes. In 2012, he was represented by 9 stakes horses, 5 stakes winners, and his runners have won a place in stakes at major tracks. Aqueduct, Pimlico, the Fairgrounds, Belmont Park, Oak Lawn, Louisiana Downs, Lone Star, Woodbine, and in Argentina. He's a sire of Disposable Pleasure, winner of the Grade 2 Demoiselle at 2 and 2nd in last year's running in the Grade 1 Mother Goose, Grade 2 Black-Eyed Susan, and 3rd in the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks. Of the 2012 2-year-old stakes winner Bet Your Life, of 2012 stakes winner in Grade 1 place Giacomo, and of Jackie Moe, a stakes winner at 2 and placed in the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes last year. It's a list that just keeps right on growing. Giacomo broke his maiden at 2, ran 2nd in the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity, won the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, a feat which eluded his great sire Holy Bull, then went on to accumulate earnings of more than $2,417,000. Lest we forget, Holy Bull is also the sire of Macho Uno, who ranked 10th on the 2012 sire list among sires at stud in the USA. Like Macho Uno, fee $20,000, Giacomo stands at Adina Springs. His stud fee is $5,000, doing a full stand in nurses. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback at 859-987-1798, and see the website at adinasprings.com. All righty, well, they're running the Panzeretta Stakes down at the fairgrounds today. And I do believe that my good friend Steve Moody is with us to give us the winner of said stake. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right. I saw a lot of rain down there at Fedden in New Orleans this week, so they are, as they were the last couple of days, they're off the turf again today. And so the Panzeretta will be run 5.5 furlongs on the main track. We've got three scratches in here. The horse that would have probably been the favorite, the 7 Palazzo Babe, is out, as is the 10 DiArvo and the 12 Snow Kiss. So, you know, this race sort of turns around on its head with being run on the main track. I probably would have to go with the 2 horse in here, Starlight, Star Bright. This is a horse who's principally run on dirt, and I'm guessing probably Tom Amos entered her on the hope that the race might might go to the main track, and I think she's probably going to be the one to beat. She's got good speed, probably the best speed in the race. I figured her go to the front from the in, from the inside under Leandro Gonsalves, and she'll be the one to catch. She's won over the 5.5 furlong distance on dirt before. So I'm going to give her a slight edge. A couple horses that other ones to look at, the 8 horse, My Maria, another one that's done her best running on the dirt. She's won, I think, 3 in a row on dirt. And for Tim Glyshaw, Brian Hernandez has the mount. She's got tactical speed. She can lay just off of the pace and try to come get the leader in the stretch run. She won her last start at the fairgrounds, so she likes the racetrack there. The track is rated as fast, the dirt track is. And then the 9 horse, Manono, another horse, pretty versatile. She's won on poly track, she's won on turf, and she's got a couple of wins on dirt as well. She won her last start on dirt at Delta Downs, going 7 furlongs. She was 3rd at Churchill, going 6 furlongs. So she's another one that's doesn't really have a particular running style. She can be up close or she can rate. And so I'm going to put her in the 3 spot here. So we're going to go Starlight, Star Bright on top, and then the 8, My Maria, and the 9, Manono, in the Panzeretta, which will be on the dirt today.
All right, Steve, thank you. Who's carrying that ball game today?
It's on, they moved it to, since KYT's got the NFL, they moved it over to the CW.
What's that?
Which is, I think, what do you got, Dish?
Dish.
Yeah, it's on, I think it's 28 is the channel number.
28 for Dish?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I've got that or not. I guess I do.
I probably do. Yeah, that's the, you know, that's their... That's their secondary channel out there at, you know, at 27 that they added here a few years ago.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I thought that, I know I don't have, Fox South. You have to subscribe to about 20,000 other stations, you know, to get it. So I had to hell with
now,
it.
I think this is a part of their, you know, it's a local station, so it should be part of your package. At 28 is a, I was looking last night. They had a whole list of who carried the channel and
oh, what okay.
the number was. And I happened to see Dish Network was channel 28. Yeah. So.
What kind of team is Texas A&M? I haven't read much about it.
Their record is pretty good. They're 11-3, but they've played no one. They haven't. You know, their schedule is far less strenuous than ours has been, and ours hadn't been any world beater, but they did beat Arkansas pretty handily the other night.
Uh-oh.
But I think Kentucky's like a 14-15 point favorite the last time I looked.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. All right, well, Steve.
12.5 on they were 12.5 on Thursday night, though, or so, and that turned out a little different than we thought.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, the zone kind of tore them pieces, didn't it?
And yeah, they just didn't.
We got a couple of guys on there can't guard.
I think it was Bobby Knight complimenting us too much. It threw them off their game.
Boy, that threw everybody off, didn't it? Of course, everybody was sitting there with a chip on their shoulder just waiting for Bobby to knock it off, but he was. Especially during the first half, but he never did get real too critical, did he?
No, he was like, as my grandfather used to say, sugar wouldn't have melted in his mouth.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. And, you know, analyzing the game, he's pretty good if he'd stick to doing that.
He can be very good. He must have I don't know, he must have gotten a little weary there at the end, though, when he couldn't figure out what the shot clock, how the shot clock was different from the game clock. He was having a lot of problems with that. But
well, that sounds like the referee did too.
Well, yeah, they definitely missed it. That was for sure. We got a basket that we shouldn't have had.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. All right, Steve. Well, thank you. It's been Steve Moody, who is with Bloodstock Research Information Services, and you can buy that Fairgrounds handicapping sheet on brisnet.com. So go get it. Thank you, Steve. Talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, Ursula.
Well, last Sunday at Santa Anita, Ms. Direction, a 5-year-old mare by Mizzen Mass, won the grade $250,000 Monrovia Stakes, and the day before, Ultimate Eagle, a 5-year-old horse by Mizzen Mass, was a pace-setting second, just got beat ahead, in the grade 2 San Pasquale. Now, Ms. Direction forced the pace in the Monrovia and displayed the spectacular closing rush that resulted in her victory in the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. She beat males that day. Ms. Direction, in 13 career starts, has 8 wins, has never been out of the money, has earned over $1 million. She's a finalist for an Eclipse Award, and of course she has won that Monrovia for 2 years in a row. Ultimate Eagle won the Grade 2 Stroob last year, the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby, and the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby the year before. He's earned over $547,000. Ms. Direction is a Grade 1 sprinter on grass. Ultimate Eagle won the Grade 2 Stroob on dirt and the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby on grass. Both around 2 turns. The two have combined records of 25 starts, 13 wins, 22 times in the money, and both are 5-year-olds. Mizzen Mass sires, versatile, durable runners with class. The only sire of 2 winners of Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races in 2012. Mizzen Mass stands for $15,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, the first graded stakes run in the new year was won by a horse raised on products of McCauley Brothers on January 5 at Aqueduct. The grade 2 Jerome was won by Bijack, a 3-year-old colt bred by Mock Mahal. That same day in California, Ms. Direction won the grade 2 Monrovia Stakes for the second year in a row. Ms. Direction, a winner also of the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, whipping the boys, was raised at Glencrest Farm for Joseph Parada. And the $100,000 Big Drama Stakes at Delta Downs winner, King Henry, was bred by Bill Betts, Dr. Chuck Kidder, and LaMantia. Ms. Direction, incidentally, was one of 5 winners of Breeders' Cup races to be raised on McCauley Brothers products, as are 7 of the nominees for the 2012 Eclipse Awards. The folks at McCauley's are proud to be associated with many of the world's most accomplished horsemen, and they'd be delighted to add your name to the list. Just contact Mike Warren or David Longmire, 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Well, Grade 2 Stakes winner Santiva, the most precocious son of champion sire Giants Causeway at Stud, is to stand his first season at Stud this year at War Horse Place. That's right here in Lexington. Santiva was a superior 2-year-old, winning the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes, ran 2nd in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity. At 3, he was 2nd in the Grade 2 Risen Star to Grade 1 winner Mucho Macho Man, followed by a bang-up performance in the Kentucky Derby, closing with a rush after an eventful trip to be beaten just 5 lengths for all the money. And as the astute observer Steve Haskin remarked, Santiva can flat-out run, and he has the pedigree. Giants Causeway is a rapidly developing sire of sires. First Samurai, Charmadale, and Santiva's Dam is a half-sister to the brilliant Safely Kept, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint and of over $2,194,000, and also to the high-class multiple graded stakes winner partner's Hero. He earned more than $554,000. It's a running family, and he matches exceptionally well with Mr. Prospector Lion Mare. Santiva stands for $7,500 due on the full stands and nurses. And for this season, for the first 15 races now, if you breed twice, you get a free season for life. So ask about that when you call Gary Assinger at 859-509-0053 or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157. Or you can see the website at warhorseplace.com. All righty. You know, they're running a quarter horse meet down at beautiful Hialeah right now. And One of our trainers from out here, Matt Frazier, is knocking them dead down there. He's won $100,000 stakes, and about everything he runs has been in the money down there. And I forget the percentage. Last I heard, it was about 70% in the money, and he's won five or six races. And but Hialeah certainly has changed, I guess. They say it's still gorgeous, but anyway, back in the late 40s, Joe Palmer wrote about Hialeah, and you kind of get the flavor of what it was like, what it used to be. So I'm going to read something from Joe. And so here it goes. This is Dateline, Miami, Florida, a column written by Joe Palmer. Hialeah Park is essentially a collection of palm trees, flamingos, horses, and horse players, enclosed by a fence of Australian pine. At the moment, I suspect it is the most beautiful track in the country, though Joe Marr, who superintends the fauna and the flora, is depressed a little by the way some of his plants didn't grow during the cool weather. It will be wilted some come the meeting's end because people will walk on it. Personally, I've seen these palm trees so often that I'm beginning to know them personally. They lead a frustrated life, for each year they're carefully pruned of their coconuts, lest a vagrant breeze loosens one on some afternoon and drop it on the skull of a native of Des Moines who is not accustomed to these things. And assuming it hit a parlay player, it might break the coconut. Actually, the cheapest way to get a coconut in Miami is to stand under a palm tree and wait. This tourist used to send them home to the children with instructions to punch out one eye, drain half the milk, replace it with rum, let it sit in the refrigerator overnight, and have it for breakfast. Their mother, being of a somewhat reactionary disposition, this experiment has not worked up to now. One of the improvements at Hialeah is a relocation of the press box up under the roof instead of down in the grandstand. This was presented as a service to the newspaper men, but actually it was a part of Hialeah's persistent thoughtfulness about its patrons. In previous years, a considerable number of these hung around the press box and secured expert opinion before they bet. This year, people cannot get any expert opinion and consequently have a normal chance to bet on a winner. Charity compels concealment of the name of a selector who, a season or so ago, picked eight winners in eight races and lost $4 on the day. One of Hialeah's less publicized advantages is that it has the only legal handbook in the East. The area behind the grandstand and clubhouse is arranged very much like at Belmont Park, but on one end is bounded by a long row of pari-mutuel windows, surmounted by a large and lovely specimen of the totalizator. Some hundreds of the customers, and on big days, thousands, sit on the benches amid the tropical surroundings or lounge on the grass and never go any nearer to the racetrack itself. They see the horses saddled and led out and then are bothered no further with them. They hear the races call on the public address system, and furthermore, the running positions of the first four horses are shown by numbers on the board in electric lights, except for a few over-enthusiastic exceptions. They do not howl or yell, "Come on with him, Ted," because this would drown out the call of the race. For the most part, they root silently with gestures of the arms and grimaces. Just at the finish, there is a breathless pause, for the call stops inside the furlong pole, and the running positions black out. This is a hushed interval in Hialeah's outdoor handbook. And then, one after another, the winning numbers flash, and everybody breathes again, but not at the same rate. This is the only place I know where a handbook horse player can lose his pool room pallor without interrupting his occupation. It must be very helpful. Far here, fresh air and sunshine were well recommended, and there's plenty of both here, Floridians having failed signally to bottle either for sale to tourists. This is a horse playing at its most restful phase, and there is a sense of luxury in being able to lie in the sunshine and watch the palm fronds against the sky, and at the same time to have an easy reach and an odds board as big as the side of Penn Station. This is a productive area for tips, because it is also bordered by an enclosure containing the administration offices, usually filled with trainers, jockeys, jockey agents, and touts not otherwise employed. It is thus easily possible to get steered off a winner by some fragment of an imperfectly overheard conversation between people who do not know very much anyway. And this, you know, is the horse player's delight.
A new and perhaps finer race of horse players is being developed in Hylier's open-air handbook, a race which disdains to watch a sweaty, lathered horse and a jockey with sand on his face led into a winner's enclosure, preferring to see the number four, say, flashed in clean electric lights. But it's going to be hard for them to go back to the badly lighted, smoke-filled pool rooms in the north. That's Joe writing about Hylier. And he could write like, in my opinion, nobody else. Well, eight of the nine first starters by the hair have won. One has won graded stakes and two have placed in stakes. We all know Gypsy Robin, this daughter of the hair, has won the grade two $250,000 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland, the grade $250,000 Beaumont at Keeneland, the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth, the $100,000 inaugural stakes at Presque Isle, and she was second in Saratoga's grade one test stakes for earnings of over $498,000. Then there is Asiya. Asiya broke her maiden by 11 lengths last December at Aqueduct. Then she was second in the $100,000 Busanda Stakes at Aqueduct on January 5. Now keep in mind that De Hare is a grade one stakes winner by the elite sire Awesome Again, whose 2013 stud fee is $75,000 live foal. In fact, De Hare is one of 12 grade one winners by Awesome Again, a list that includes the brilliant Ghost Zapper. Josiah, 15 2012 stakes winners, including two grade one winners. Ghost Zapper's 2013 stud fee is $35,000. De Hare stands for $5,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585. And incidentally, just on January the 9th, I believe that was Wednesday, the $75,000 true and blue stakes at Aqueduct was won by Head Heart Hoof. And that's a gilding sired by Into Dab, who also stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to my stallion manager, Ken Barge, 224-4585, and the website is shadwellfarm.com.
It's here. It should be there.
Do what? Oh, okay. What do you mean?
Shadwell.
Did I skip something there? Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, this is not much racing around here now. If you want to freshen your horses, it's a good time to do it. Great time of the year and a perfect place if you want to freshen horses out of Kismark. And they freshened out some good ones. Most recently, Grace Hall was out there, for instance. But the list of top-class horses that have gone out to Kismark for one reason or another down through the years is reads like a who's who of racing. Sprightstown was out there. Any Given Saturday, Einstein, Badge of Silver, Colonel John, Kitten's Joy. Yeah, you know, Magna Graduate, Roses in May. They all came to Kismark for a problem somewhere during their careers. And believe me, the list of well-known horses just keeps right on growing. Let me tell you where it is. Kismark is just a couple of miles from Keeneland on Shannon Run Road. Shannon Run Road is right across from the castle. It's Pisgah Road on one side, Shannon Run on the other. And they have a variety of tools at their disposal that benefit the horses. You just can't get them anywhere else in Kentucky. And they have a staff that's well-schooled in the use of those tools. Area veterinarians use the Kismark facilities extensively. In fact, pretty near every horse that goes out there has their own vet. So if you hang around there long enough, you'll meet just about every vet in central Kentucky. Kismark opens its doors to horses either from critically injured to those in just need of a little freshening, and the cost is extremely reasonable. And they've got some things out there. One thing I was really impressed me was a cold saltwater spa. And when I say cold, brother, I mean cold, 35 degrees. You used to go to races and you see people icing their horses, you know, before they were led over. Well, this will ice them, I'll tell you that. And it's used to reduce swelling and inflammation of the limbs, and it does it in a hurry. They've also got an aqua tread and a swimming pool and a freestyle walker and indoor walking and jogging rings. Got a vibrating platform. That, incidentally, was developed by the space program. And it helps foot growth and enhances circulation, strengthens bones. They got a hyperbaric chamber out there, turnout paddocks, round pens. Everything you need right there at Kismark to fix your horse up. Or just give them a good and nice rest. Give them a call. It's an 859 number. It's 873-9955. And check the website. It's kismark.com. Well, spring in the air, Shawnee Girls Spring Venture, all three winners of graded stakes at two-year-olds last year, all three nominated for the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, and all three are from the first crop to race by Spring at Last. Three Kentucky Oaks nominees. Spring at Last won the Grade 1 Alcibiades at Keeneland, ran second in the Grade 2 Natalma Stakes to Spring Venture, the Grade 2 Shady Well Stakes, it should be, at Woodbine. Shawnee Girl won the Grade 2 Goldenrod at Churchill and was second to Spring Venture in the Grade 3 Mazarine Stakes. And Spring Venture won both the Grade 2 Natalma Stakes and the Grade 3 Mazarine Stakes. Spring at Last was also the sire of A Lover's Question. He won the Jamestown Stakes at Colonial Downs, so that's four first crop stakes winners. Now, he was the nation's leading freshman sire among sires now at stud in the USA, and he was the leading freshman sire of graded stakes winners. Six of his first crop runners won a place in stakes. Grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire Spring at Last is at Windstar Farm. $15,000 due when a foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, 859-873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Jackie, you got a couple of announcements over there for
us. Yeah, I got a big one for Paris. Ralph Quillen's opened up his own saloon. That's what you do when you get lonesome out in other people's saloons. You open up your own saloon. And he's going to make his own beer. Anyway, it's going to be called Rooster Brew. And
Rooster Brew.
Liz Wire did a head of a rooster for him for a logo, and it's terrific. It really is good looking. So anyway, he's out there picking up old bottle caps so he can reuse them. If you got any old bottle caps out in the street, pick them up and send them over there to Ralph, and we can recycle those things. What happened, I understand, is that when they were out there making their first batch or two, a rooster showed up and looked at them. I don't know what that means, but they said it was a sign. So it's going to be at 719 yeah. Main Street, and for a while...
Glad it wasn't a baboon.
I'll tell you. Well, no, that place was already taken. Okay. They brewed three or four batches on the back porch, and there was the rooster checking that all out.
Old Ralph getting into the beer business. Well,
yeah. Well, why not?
Keep going, Ralph. I'll come down and help drink it.
There you go. I mean, if you get tired of bar hopping, you build your own. So, January today is the 12th out at the Horse Park U.S. Mounted Games Association. That starts early in the morning, goes all day. That's today and tomorrow. 18, Professional Rough Stock Rodeo Series. That's next Friday and Saturday. That means bucking stock. That means no roping, no barrel racing, none of that girly stuff. The 26th is U.S. Mounted Games Association again, and John Michael Montgomery will be out there February 2nd with Kentucky Roundup and more mounted games. There's just not much going on now because of the weather and stuff. It'll start picking up. Of course, Turfway, that's going on. Two or three days this week. What is it?
They race on Thursday, Friday, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this month.
So Friday's the evening and Saturday and Sunday are day. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. We've done all right out there, you know, with not much racing. Since last week's show, we've had four winners and 3 days of racing. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah. That was Tommy Short, Paul Garcia, Bobby Sturgeon, and Brian Michael.
UK Equine Showcase is Friday, January 18th, 1 to 5. And 4th Annual Kentucky Breeders Short Course is Saturday, January 19th, from 8 to 5 at UK Diagnostic Laboratory, 1490 Bull Lee Road. You have to figure that one out for yourself. If you want to go to the web, ukequineshowcase.eventbrite. So that's going on, and they do stuff like inflammatory markers and impending injury, novel therapies, effective antibiotics on gastrointestinal bacteria. We know all about that anyway. Wobblers, beyond deworming. Oof. Why is my horse that color? Well, look at the teaser. I don't know what to tell you. A lot of stuff. Mud erosion and composting, control of sexual behavior in stallions, cares, cases of poisoning, blah, blah, blah. That's about it. Martha Stiles, our friend's new book, Sailing to Freedom, has been selected by the Kentucky Book Fair and going to be on the mall in Washington, D.C. in September.
Martin was a great guy. She was,
yeah,
she just passed
she's,
away.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, and she's a great lady.
Yeah. Macaulay's is putting out this stuff called Longevity. If you've got a really old horse with no teeth, that's where you go because it just sort of dissolves when they gum it.
Yeah, and we got a couple of horses like that.
I like that, yes.
Yeah, well, Undefeated Bitech, winner January 5 of the Grade $250,000 Jerome at Aqueduct, and Golden Sense, winner that same day of the Grade 3 Sham at Santa Anita, are 3 year-olds from the First Crop by Into Mischief. Both are on the Derby Trail. Take note that Into Mischief was an original share of the Upside Spendthrift Farm stand. So if you participated in that program, you now own a lifetime breeding right to Into Mischief. Congratulations. That said, it would well behoove you to contact Spendthrift Farm and check the breeding incentives that are available now to other Spendthrift stallions. The number out there, it's an 859 number, 294-0030. As for either Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker, Into Mischief is also the side of the multiple stakes winner and graded place filly sitting at the bar in his first crop. He's a grade one stakes winner himself, and he's the son of last year's number one ranked sire on the juvenile sire list, Harlan's Holiday, whose stud fees climbed to $35,000. The Spendthrift Stallions for 2013, Arch 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 Into Mischief, line of David, Malibu Moon, Notional, Patio Prado, Temple City, Tis Wonderful, Tis Way, Warrior's Reward, Wilburn. Your inspection's invited. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3 year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, congrats was the champion freshman sire when his first crop hit the tracks. He was a top 5 second crop sire the following year, and he has an outstanding year again last year with 14 stakes horses and 2 more grade 1 stakes winners. Turbulent Descent posted a 4th grade 1 win in Saratoga's grade 1 Ballerina. Emma's Posse won the grade 1 prize. Congrats, covered 127 mares in 2012, and with some 160 yearlings in 2013, future really looks good. He's by AP Indiana, praised by Mr. Prospector, and he stands in Vinery, Kentucky for $35,000, payable when the foal stands in nurses. Also at Vinery, Kentucky, are the stallions Kodiak Cowboy and More Than Ready, Pure Prize, and Street Hero. Your inspection's invited, and be sure to talk to either Derek McKenzie or Steve Castanola about Vinery's outstanding record in 2012. The number is 859-455-9388, and see the website at vinery.com. About 2 minutes, right? All righty, you got to take care of my good friend David Schweitzer over to KTA, and last weekend, stakes winners bred in Kentucky, the Sham out at Santa Anita, winner Golden Sense. By Into Mischief, one was bred by Rosemont Farm and Karen Pirello. The Jerome, grade 2 up at Aqueduct, winner Vi Jack. He is also by Into Mischief. He was bred by Machma Hall. Let's see, what else do I have here? The Monrovia Stakes out at Santa Anita, grade 3, Misdirection, one of my favorite horses. Misdirection was bred by Joseph Parada, and she was by one of my favorite stud horses, Mizzen Mass, is one of the underrated studs in the country. The Mr. Prospector Stakes at Gulfstream Park, Indiana, won that. Indiana by Indian Charlie, bred by the Diamond A Racing Corporation. The Cowie Katie, won the Old Hat Stakes, grade 3 at Gulfstream Park, bred by my good friends over at Spencer Farm, and was sired by Malibu Moon. The By the Light Stakes at Delta Downs, Dancing in the Circle by Divine Park, bred by James Berry. The Gulfstream Park Derby,
It's my lucky day, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. Call to serve when the Broadbush Stakes, bred by Tracy Farmer. Those are the stakes winners from last week. We'll be on the website here pretty soon, won't we, Jackie?
I hope.
You hope? Yeah, the website is Horsetails.
No, UrsulaEllisHorsetails.com.
UrsulaEllisHorsetails.com. All right. Thanks, Mary Jane. Is that Mary Jane down there today? Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Mary Jane. Thank you, Resi. And thank you for listening, if you did.
If you didn't, and good night to all of you in China.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you next week.